And reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus urging the disciples to go out into the world to make disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do sing of your praises and we sing of our love for you. We are happy because we know that you watch over us just as you watch over the smallest of your created life. Help us, O God, in our daily lives to give voice to that faith. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Those of you who are my friends on Facebook, and by the way, apparently I wasn't allowing anyone to be my friend for months. I don't know about these things, you know. Apparently all you could do was wave at me. Well, now you can be my friend if you want to. Anyway, those who somehow managed to invite themselves into my self-absorbed world of house and yard repairs will know I have a cousin. Well, actually, I have 45 of them. But I have this one cousin who, although I've never asked him directly, is, I'm quite convinced, an atheist. Now, that's not a crime by any means. I actually have much closer family members than cousins who are atheists. But here's what bothers me about it. It's making me think way harder than I want to some days about what I believe. And here's the other thing that really troubles me. I don't want to talk to him about it. Well, I certainly don't want to talk with him about it on Facebook because I'm a bit scared, not of him. It takes way more than an atheist to scare me these days. But I'm scared because I'm afraid of where the conversation might take me. I'm scared of how my own faith might be rearranged. I'm scared of what I might choose to leave behind. And well, let's be truthful, I'm scared of what all of you who happen to be my Facebook friends might think of the conversation. Because sometimes I think I'm a bit of a rare theological species. I'm a strange mixture of some pretty traditional beliefs, stirred up with a pretty liberal social conscience. And my faith just seems to be constantly rearranging itself as long as I can remember. But then I remember a premise that I hold pretty dear, that there is no one right way to believe in God. If there were, I'm pretty sure that the Bible would not be a narrative of different people's experiences of the divine. It would instead, I think, be a pretty straightforward doctrinal statement clearly telling us what our beliefs should be. But in fact, doctrine is what we have invented. Faith is what God intended. And so when we read Jesus' words to the disciples that they should go into all the world and teach people everywhere what he had commanded them, we need to remember that even the way Jesus taught was by example, by chatting, by engaging in conversation with the woman at the well, asking the disciples who they thought he was. It was all about encouraging people to think for themselves. And so why should we expect anything different from ourselves and others than to be continually searching and thinking and revising and renewing what we believe? And speaking our faith not out of some prescribed norm, but out of what it is that we at this moment in time believe to be true. Because here's my greatest fear. When we, who are mostly reasonable, reasoned, literate, moderate, with a well-balanced theology, when we do not find our voice, then all people hear is one of two extremes. When we don't speak out, then there are only two sides of the Christian faith represented, those being the fundamentalist right and the progressive left, which is slipping more and more often into atheism. You know, it still amazes me when I talk to people of my generation who stepped away from the church soon after confirmation. It amazes me that they have no idea that the church has changed and progressed since then. They seem to have no idea that since we were children, we have welcomed critical thinking into the church. And unlike our early days in the faith, when we were not to question anything, but were expected to recite the prescribed answers to the catechism. Anybody remember, did anyone else grow up with a catechism? That little blue book? You know, remember who is God? And all you had to do was memorize and recite the correct answer back, because there was a right answer to everything. But some people don't seem to know that now we're allowed to ask questions, we're allowed to think, we're allowed to push the edges. But why would they not assume that things are always as they were? Because we, the moderates, don't give voice to our reasoned and reasonable faith that most people would find bears not much resemblance at all to the carved in stone religion of our early days. Go and make disciples. Yeah, I'm not going to make you run up to the balcony like Kim did, but I think that was a good example for all of us. Do it. Just say it. Talk about it. Give up your fear about right and wrong, because there's a pretty huge spectrum of beliefs out there that fall under the heading of Christianity. And the good news is I haven't heard of any recent witch hunts or beheadings for heresy in southern Ontario, so I think you're all safe. The worst that can happen is you go head to head and have a good, healthy discussion that perhaps will leave you with more questions than you had before. But if those questions surface, then perhaps it is time that you took them seriously. I'm going to sit down with my cousin this summer, face to face, and hopefully help him better understand that Christianity is not what it was when we grew up together in that tiny village on Prince Edward Island. And I suspect that from him I will also learn some pretty important ways of looking at the world that I've probably set aside thus far in my world, which is buffered by a lifetime of Christian belief. And so I encourage you as well to find ways and places to give voice to your faith. If people ask you why you come to church, don't tell them that you come because you like the music. I mean, we all come because we like the music, okay? But dig a bit deeper as well and admit that in this place, in this time together, you find just a little more strength, a little more courage, a little more peace for your life than you would find anywhere else. And tell them the truth. Tell them that your faith is not a stagnant, never-changing set of doctrine, but is rather a living, growing entity that surprises even you sometimes with new learnings and new insights. Beyond all else, just say it. Say something about our amazing God who chose to reveal himself in a multitude of ways so that we would have ample means of approaching him and understanding him. Because when we fall silent, we who are the educated, educating, reasoned, and reasonable voice of Christianity, when we fall silent, then others move in to fill the void, and the face of the faith that appears for all the world to see is not the face of God we want others to see and believe and follow. Thanks be to God indeed on this Trinity Sunday for choosing to be revealed to us in so many new and wonderful ways. May we be open to his presence. May we embrace his presence in our lives. And may we speak confidently of the faith we claim as our own.